Good evening. So nice to be back.
Back again?
Back again.
Every time I'm here, you're back.
I know.
Every time I'm back, you're back.
Yes. Yeah, July has been a very intense month. It's almost over. Boulder. Everyone sends greetings, and it was real hot. It was about 100 degrees the first 3 or 4 days, and in the first 2 days the heating system was broken, so we instituted a new part of the program. We took a nap in the afternoon. Very nice. Very, very nice. I think it's a nice tradition, especially in the summertime. You know, you really get wrung out. So we did a work period at 9:30 in the morning. Or 9. We started at 9 and finished at 10 when it was still cool. And we could dig weeds in the garden and things like that. And then when it got really hot in the afternoon after tea, we just curled up and went to sleep. Some people slept in the zendo, some people slept in the kitchen. You could just lie down anywhere that you needed to go. And it worked out very nicely. They have a lily pond, so you get the music of the frogs all evening. They have bullfrogs that just showed up out of nowhere and filled up the pond with these, they're just little wee frogs, most of them, with green faces, little pointed noses, and gray bodies. But they make this huge noise, huge mournful noise, way deep. You sit there and listen to this deep, sad sound coming from the water. Samya, what happened?
Got run over by a taxi.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's really unfortunate.
Huh?
You're okay, huh?
Yes.
Thank goodness. Boy. Well, I'm sorry. I'm glad you've got your helper with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I talked to Donna Lynn this afternoon, and she wasn't feeling very well. She said her husband had some kind of bug yesterday, and she got it today. So she sends her best and said, you all talked about the cat last week, and so she left it to me to, she said, to pick up the pieces or something. So we can either go back to the cat or we can continue. It's really up to you all. It's one of those really tangled up and very famous koans, extremely famous, one of the most. So it's worth wrestling with. Definitely. So, however you would like to do.
I would like to know about it. So I probably got about 10% of it.
Hmm.
Interpretation.
Yeah. Well, Dogen has several things to talk about in it. He doesn't just tell the story. He also starts talking about the precepts and it's sort of goes off on a tangent in a way, the last half of it. So maybe we could read through the first part. That talks about the cat story and also the fox story. He's got them both in there. So it might be well to hear it. Should we do that? From the beginning of number six until... until the top of number... of page six, okay, when he starts talking about violation of the precepts, which is a whole other subject.
Record of things heard, section six. One, what is the principle of, quote, not being able to limit cause and effect? Logan said, it is immutable, cause and effect. Idra said, how can one escape? Logan said, cause and effect are clear. Idra said, then does cause evoke effect, or does effect evoke cause?
Logan says, if it is so in every case, then take the example of Nanchuan killing the cat. When the assembly could not answer him, he immediately killed the cat. Later, when Chao Cho put his sandals on his head and went out, this was the acting out of yet another stage.
Dogen also said, if I had been Nan Chuan, I would have said, even if you can speak, I will kill it, and if you can't speak, I will also kill it. Who quarrels over a cat? Who saves the cat? In behalf of the community, I would say, we cannot speak. Go ahead and kill the cat, teacher. Or I would say in behalf of the community, the teacher only knows about one stroke cutting into two pieces. He does not know about one stroke cutting into one piece.
Yiho said, what is one stroke cutting into one piece? Dogen said, this is the cat itself. He also said, when the assembly did not reply, if I were Nan Chuan, I would say the assembly had already spoken and would have released the cat. An ancient said, the great function appears without remaining in set patterns. He also said, the cat we are talking about is the manifestation of the great function of Buddha Dharma, and it is a turning word. If it were not a turning word, we could not say mountains, rivers, and the great earth are the marvelous, pure, illumined mind. And we could not say the very mind is Buddha. So in the expression of this turning word, see that the cat is identical to the Buddha body. Furthermore, hearing these words, a student may suddenly become enlightened. He also said, this cutting of the cat is just the activity of Buddha himself. What can you call it? He said, it must be called killing a cat.
Ijo asked, is this a form of wrongdoing or not? Logan said, it is a form of wrongdoing. Ijo said, how to escape from it? Logan said, the activity of Buddha and the wrongdoing are separate and not appearing to be so. Ijo asked, does the term step-by-step liberation refer to something like this?
Dogen said, yes, however, such considerations, even though they be a good thing, are not as good as notion.
Yiho asked, does it have an expression transmutation of aspects refers to the transmutation of having received aspects, or can a form of wrongdoing done for the community aspects also be called violation of aspects? What about it?
I think we can stop there. Thank you, Maya. We also have the whole story of Pai Chung in the notes, and also the cat story directly. Maybe, Lauren, you can read note one of... and Hulk, if you can read number two, the second note. They're on pages 24 and 25.
Okay, which note?
One, you read one. At the bottom of 24. Notes to six.
This expression is taken from a famous story about Pai Ching Huai Hai. Once an old man who used to attend Pai Chang's lectures told him that in the distant past someone had asked him whether or not one who cultivates the great practice still falls into cause and effect. The old man had replied that such a one would not fall into the province of cause and effect. Because of this reply, he became a wild fox for 500 lives. Then he asked Pai Chang to save him from this condition and posed the question to him as to whether or not one who cultivates the great practice still falls into cause and effect. Pai Chang said, "He is not ignorant of cause and effect." The old man was then enlightened. The full story appears in example 2 of the collection Wan Men Kuan, Nuan Kan, which is available in several English translations.
So that's the first part, the principle of not being ignorant of cause and effect.
The incident also appears in the Wan Men Kuan. Once, when the monks of the Eastern and Western halls in his temple were arguing over a cat, Nan Xuan grabbed the cat, held it up before them, and said, "If anyone in the community can speak, you will save the cat. If you cannot speak, I will kill the cat." No one spoke, so he killed the cat. Later, Nan Xuan's great disciple, Chao Chou, returned to the temple, and Nan Xuan related this incident to him. Chao Chou immediately put his sandals upon his head and walked out. Nan Xuan said, "If you had been here, you would have saved the cat." Nan Xuan, Huyan, and Chao Chou Sun Shen were both outstanding Chinese Zen masters.
Thank you.
No, I'll run it over later.
Pretty crazy, those Chinese students of Buddhism trying to express complete open mind, complete mind of Buddha. One thing to know is that putting the sandals on your head was the way that mourning was expressed when someone died in China. So when the student came and the teacher told him the story, the student put the sandals on his head, and his teacher said, "If you'd been here, you would have saved the cat," because he was responding to the situation directly, acknowledging it and responding. there's a story of I just heard today from Darlene Cohen. She said that it has inspired her so much. She said there was an old Tibetan who was given a very bad prognosis. He had some sort of awful disease, and they told him he didn't have very much time. And he decided that he would just allow whatever wanted to live on him and by him and for him, he would just let it eat him. If it was cancer, he just let the cancer, you know, be. He was the guest to all the things that were wrong with him. And he did not die. He lived for another 10 years because he opened his mind to the whole thing and allowed it to be what it was going, instead of resisting and pushing back. So that's what this story is about also. You know, not speaking was the same as resistance. You know, they were horrified and they didn't want him to do it. And if they had opened up, it would have been fine. And Dogen's responses are very interesting. He has a lot of different ways of thinking about it, so it's not just one way. He said, I would have said, even if you speak, I will kill it. And if you can't speak, I will also kill it. But he also said, when the assembly did not reply, if I were Nanchuan, I would say the assembly had already spoken and would have released the cat. So it just depends on the moment and the situation, the overall situation, the attitude of everything adding up. Now, that's about the karmic situation, the causes and effects that go together to make each situation as it is. And that's how it begins, the principle of not being ignorant of cause and effect. And so the students weren't really aware of their own role in saving the cat, their own role and being where they were at the very moment where they were, when they were. And so that was the teacher's teaching, was to try to wake them up. It's a very extreme story. It's really a horrible story in a way, but since we've inherited it, and it has such, it's truly fine as far as a teaching story. It really tells us something that we need to know about how it is that we come to be who and where we are. So the story of the old man who came to sit with everyone and then eventually revealed that he was really a fox and had been a fox for many, many lives. Because he had answered someone's question the wrong way, creates a cause and effect situation, very blatant cause and effect. If you say the wrong thing about a certain subject, then the subject itself becomes your punishment in a way. He said no cause and effect, and so he became the living example of cause and effect by being reborn as a fox over and over again. So it's a kind of joke. It's a wonderful joke about cause and effect. And then the ultimate one is that Pai Chang, who is the abbot, in the tradition of Zen, the abbot has the same name generation after generation. And so it's really the same person. And so because he takes the name of the mountain. And so the old man is another version, an earlier version of the present abbot. And the abbot gives him a little tweak and gives him a little more insight into cause and effect. And bam, he's gone. So then they burn the fox body in the backyard, and all the monks are amazed, and they have a funeral. And how does that end? One of the students comes to him, and what does he say, Lauren? You remember.
I wish I did remember.
There's something about a red-bearded barbarian. He called him a red-bearded, the new student, who is probably going to be the new abbot with the same old name. So it's just piling cause and effect and insight into this wonderful story to show what we take so for granted. I mean, here we are, everything is the same, everything is different. We go on, it's all, we scan the world. We're scanning it in a kind of superficial way. But these stories break through that and bring us face to face with, oh, what is this? What is this really? Another translation is, the enlightened person is not deceived by cause and effect. We suffer cause and effect, but an enlightened person is not driven by it. It's a way of seeing through, or taking the broad view, the big mind view, so that even though we have to identify this happened and this was this for this reason, still, in the largest sense, it all belongs together. Zen teachers do kind of naughty things sometimes. This is probably the most naughty thing that a Zen teacher ever did. But I've probably told the Daido Lori story of the fight in his temple about an old man and a dog. When they first bought this beautiful property in Upper New York, it was a gorgeous old sort of, I don't know, there was an insane asylum, some kind of institutional building, and then an old kind of hut out back where an old man and a dog lived, he and his dog. And there was a big debate about the old man. Should we ask him to leave? Because we're going to do this Zen thing and it's going to be all pure and perfect and nice. Or shall we be generous and keep him? And they decided they would keep him for a while and see how it worked out. Well, he came every morning. They got up to sit at 5, and they had a little foyer outside the Zendo with a refrigerator, and there was coffee and milk and stuff, and the old guy would come and help himself. And there became two factions in the Sangha. One that wanted to keep the old man because they felt sorry for him and felt that it was just one old man, and the others who were just outraged that he would be doing that. So Daido went to one faction, the faction where they loved the old man, and started telling stories about him, kind of goading them, saying he really smells. And he really shouldn't be taking things. You know, that's breaking the precepts. And he's just worked on them. And the other ones, he went to them, the ones who didn't hate the old man, said, "Do you see his face the other day? Do you see that peace and beauty in his face? It's real Buddha nature in this old guy." And before he knew it, they were fighting the other way around. And he got them all together and he asked them if they had noticed anything. So it's how our mind works, the small mind, the narrow mind, the selfish mind, and the large, generous mind that we also are, that we practice about and we practice from. That's the basis of these stories.
attention?
Yes.
I have a problem with the Zen master who killed the cat.
You're not the only one, Julius. You're definitely not the only one.
And reading, I'm interpreting, Dogen sounds like he also had issues with that teacher and his method.
Mm-hmm.
About the, you know, the only thing that this guy could see was the cat in two, not in, the actual phrase that's used evades me, but like he could not understand the cat, cutting the cat at one or.
Yes, well, that was the big mind and the small mind version of the cat. That's why the cat is in quotes farther down the page. He also said the cat we are talking about is the manifestation of the great function of Buddha Dharma. The quote cat. It's an idea.
And he, I guess the problem I'm having is like the Zen master, he, what gave, what gave him the right to use this cat, you know, for this demonstration? What, I don't know. It just sounds.
I know, it's gross. It is.
I mean, I understand the
idea. Yes.
The idea, but.
Yes. It's true. It's really, it's an ugly story in a lot of ways. But as a metaphor, it's a very, very helpful and useful story. So, you know, we kind of have to, if we're going to deal with it, we have to separate our disgust from our a deeper understanding. You know, and our disgust is, it's certainly, I mean, it's real, of course.
I mean, it kind of reminds me of, like, there's this, I don't know, this comic book called The Watchmen, and this villain ends up, he wants to destroy, he basically, he sets off a bomb to teach humanity to appreciate life. And I don't know, it sounds like kind
I
of
see, I
idea,
see.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like, okay, here's a cat, but I mean, it's just that whole concept.
Yes, it's ugly. It's ugly. If we cherish life as we do, then killing any life is breaking the precepts, which is why there's this long discussion about was that breaking the precepts or not. And it was. It definitely was. He said, when you haven't received the precepts, then you're not breaking the precepts to do something like that. But if you've taken the precepts, then you've definitely broken that. So then there's the discussion about what happens if you've broken the precepts. And he said what was Buddha's teaching was that you can always be set free from the cause and effect of the breaking of something. Even Buddha's cousin who tried to kill him, Buddha told him, you know, one of these days you too will be a Buddha. So, and the guy who had killed 99 people and tried to kill Buddha, instead of, you know, putting him in jail or trying to kill him, met him. So there's that side of it too, that we keep trying to meet each situation rather than manhandle it and maneuver it for our own benefit. Samia?
I'm still confused about, he told him if you didn't have put in your sandals and left, you could have saved it. I mean, he already killed it, so it's already too late.
Yeah, because the fellow who put the sandals on wasn't there. He said if you had been here and done that, you would have saved the cat.
But he wasn't part of it.
He wasn't part of it. He came later.
So and he's just he's just really pissed and attacking everybody, or?
No. No, it was just
So there's no more interpretation why did he pick a cat or at this. I mean, he actually killed, obviously. Or is it just a metaphor?
It's a metaphor.
Okay, so it's not, you know, kind of like the Christian thing, they did the sacrifice and they picked the best lamb. And,
yes.
You know, the Christian thought it was a good thing then, but, you know, they don't do it now.
Right. I'd be very surprised if it actually happened. But it's been a story that they've told for hundreds and hundreds of years, and it really gets everybody.
So is it basically taking a stance, or could you say
it's trying to evoke from people an authentic response?
And so is he saying it's not okay to not know? Because, I mean, they were obviously probably shocked.
That seemed authentic response to me.
Well, that's what Dogen said, too. Dogen said, one of Dogen's interpretations was that if they had been silent like that he would have not killed the cat.
Oh.
He turned it around and around and gave a lot of different possibilities, and that's one of them. So it's not cast in stone at all. It's full of the causes and conditions that, and depending on how you look at it, how you understand it, it's just shaking our minds loose. Lauren?
I didn't know this about wearing your sandals on your head being a sign of mourning. And I think maybe it's worthwhile asking, you know, why is that a sign of mourning? My explanation of why that's a comment that saves the cat is that what Chao Chu is saying is killing the cat is a stupid thing to do. Because, I mean, it's like, it's not solving the problem. Killing the cat is like taking the sandals off your feet,
mm-hmm.
on which you ordinarily would walk, and putting them on your head, and then walking without the sandals on your feet.
Yes.
So it shows why killing the cat is simply the wrong thing to do in this situation. Even though you end up with two pieces of cat, but you can give one cat to one part and one cat to the other part.
Which is ridiculous. Yes, yes.
So that's why it saves the cat.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. Jane?
Just to fix up what you're saying about the puzzle. I mean, is it also saying no matter what they did or what they didn't do, we can't know what would have happened?
Yes.
Happened?
Yes. Jane?
That's going to be my question. So I'm thinking on the train today, there was a gentleman on his cell phone, and the etiquette is you don't have long conversations on the phone, on the train on your cell phone. So I was irritated today, so I'm like really focusing on this guy. You know, I went to another irritating thing after that. And I'm thinking, okay, so what do you do? I mean, you know, tap him on the shoulder, respectfully, sir, I'm sorry. It's like, no, anything I say would have annoyed the man, and you know, so I decided not to do it. So I'm just thinking, I mean, that's such a small, minuscule example of, you know, you're telling us our ways to meet the situation. And I'm thinking that we're kind of sunk one way or another as far as our words go. That number one, our words are going to be taken in as many different ways as there are people in the world. Number two, we can't know what the outcome is going to be. So it's almost like meeting the situation, you can have no intention. You might have hope or expectation, but you cannot cling to the hope that I'm going to change this situation. You just got to show up, and it's just, once again, we don't know.
Yes. Yes. So we're not fooled by the causes and conditions into thinking we have the power over it.
So ultimately, what is the, why even show up to each other if we don't know what impact we're having or what difference it makes? How does one conduct oneself with other people if you don't even know what you can do?
Because we're not about doing in that sense. We're about meeting. We're about encountering each other. We're about relationship. Not just with people, but with all the things that come in contact with. So our study and our and our effort is all about that.
And this is United States of America in 2008. We are told to be productive, to get results, to be predictable, to get things done. And you're telling us we're just here to meet one another? That is like swimming not only just upstream.
Well, I think so. I think we can be productive and all those other things and be have our feet on the ground and our minds open enough to meet. It doesn't mean that you make friends with the man on the phone. It just means that your mind opens up and includes everything in each situation in which you find yourself. Rather than skimming the surface, rather than jumping to conclusions, making judgments, that you're, in fact, that's what you did with him. You noticed how it felt for you. You weren't just driven by your emotion around it. You actually sat with it and met how it felt for you to be with him.
So we can do the same thing with our productivity.
Absolutely.
We can say, oh, well, this is nothing. We do it with full heart, but it's also not the whole picture.
Yes. Yes.
That really is radical. I'm not being flippant now. That really is radical.
It is radical because it frees you. Instead of being clutching on it and trying to make it be something, you're much more likely to allow it to be what it wants to be and see what that is and help it to be whatever it wants to be. Whether it's a person or a project or a garden or... If you think about all the different things that we do, if we have too much of a big idea about how we want it to go, we end up all frustrated and anxious. But if we're focused on it, but with a mind that isn't so convinced that we know what it is, that we can let it unfold itself as we unfold ourselves as it, then there's much more creativity in it also.
I'm finding that taking that kind of time and having that kind of patience and stepping back is it takes a certain kind of discipline, maybe.
Yes.
Or desire.
Yes.
To hold that space, because there is such a push to do, act,
yes.
Think, decide now.
Right. It's why we sit. It's why we sit. And bring that mind of sitting wherever we go as best we can. It's a challenge. It's a big challenge. But it's what we've got. And I think it's our job. The job under the job, whatever other job we have, it's the job under our job.
In terms of, like, this... Zen master, I mean, it's weird, that same scenario, like, it is like would be a villain in, like, a thriller or something.
Yeah.
The villain goes, gets someone's, you know, whatever, beloved, and you know, makes the hero do this kind of choice, like this.
Yes.
But it's almost like, I would say, the definition of delusion, because it's like I don't think in that particular instance, that Zen master, I was putting it all on these people when he's the one that had the cat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like the way of, like, you know, like flipping a coin, like this whole, like, not kind of, I guess maybe taking responsibility. I don't know.
Well, or taking too much responsibility, I would say. You know, he was being a little too cheeky as the master.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that too.
Yeah.
I mean, I think people really do that in certain ways, like, you know, not so, you know.
It was pretty blatant, wasn't it?
So,
yeah.
Which is helpful, too. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes you need to be knocked on the head, but not in story form.
Yes, in story form only. Me too.
This is reminding me of The Dark Knight.
Yeah, it's
Joker.
Yeah.
He's like a Zen master. I think. Well, he would be like killing people, but just to like to rile people up. You know, essentially, and kind of just showing that it doesn't matter, or showing. You know what I mean? Kind of like manipulating the situation around, just to see that. It doesn't matter, it can be manipulated so easily.
Definitely put people.
Did you see the movie?
I haven't seen the movie. I've read the reviews, but Batman. The new Batman.
Oh. Well, that's what Jokers do, and clowns and jesters, and that's always been their, you know, the trickster gods.
Yes.
It's always been to subvert this fixed view of, you know, life and the world.
Exactly, and exactly, and that's what this story was too. Exactly, it was a. That's right. It's a trickster, coyote or something.
Coyote,
yeah, yeah.
Not by killing.
No cats were harmed in the making of this story. It's just a metaphor. But the beauty is that we reacted to a kitten being killed. That's the beauty of it. That we have this visceral reaction. And we have to look at that visceral reaction.
It's very complicated.
It
it's
is.
Almost like the whole thing encompasses so much.
It does.
In the whole, like, I mean, we all die. You know, like, so is it really that? I mean, then you have to examine.
Yes.
Tragic, and I mean, there's
yes.
a lot of. It's amazing. There's a lot of depth in those.
Well, in koan practice, people sit with a koan like this for months and months and just let it work them. I mean, we could all do that. It probably will work us anyway, just because we've been so exposed to it now. It's very interesting to expose yourself to a breakup story like this. It breaks the icon of thought, you know, and creates some space in there, and you don't know what to do with it exactly. It's bewildering. But just be with it and see where it takes you. It's after 8. I've lost my sense of time.